Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Heart Shift Radio. And of course, this wonderful week of Valentine's. I am so excited. I have some very special guests with me today that I have been yearning to have on my program. And when I was thinking about Valentine's Day coming up, I said, ah, they are the perfect people. I don't know if you've heard of them before, but if not, you will never, ever forget them. They come to you with so much depth and real knowledge about how to create love on purpose. And by the way, that's the name of their company. But I'd like to introduce you to Orna and Matthew Walters. And tell you first off that we've known each other for quite some time. We met each other at a wonderful program called CEO Space, and it's been a number of years, but that's not why they're here. They're here because I follow them. I receive their emails, I read their posts, and the one thing that I've always been so impressed with is the integrity and the depth of their sharing. Their message is so consistent, and it's one that will help you to open your hearts in ways that perhaps you have not even imagined. So, first of all, welcome, Orna and Matthew. Let everybody know that you're here, and then I'm going to tell them a little bit more about you.
Oh, you're so sweet, Marcy. Wow, what an introduction. And I just have to tell you, the feeling is mutual. We just absolutely adore you, and we are thrilled to be here today sharing some knowledge with your community.
Yeah, and I just want to say for myself, I just am really touched by that introduction. It's really sweet to hear that. And you know, I for one, am really looking forward to this conversation today.
We're going to have a great time together, but I also know that what we are going to deliver is everything that our listeners need to hear. So let me just tell you a little bit of background about Orna and Matthew. I love this. You call yourselves soulmate coaches. I'm so moved by that. And so who Orna and Matthew work with? Are so many of you who are listening, spiritual, successful, single women. They're the founders of Love on Purpose Revolution. It's a global online event, and it's dedicated to busting those myths that love is supposed to happen by accident. For those of you who know my work, you probably just had a little light go off as to why I'm so connected to what they do. I'm a firm believer that we have the ability to create what it is that we want to experience in our lives. And Orna and Matthew know exactly how to help you to create that in your love life too. You see, each of them struggled with their own love relationships for the majority of their adult lives. But they each put the time, the effort, got the support, and the guidance that they needed to master self-love. And it allowed them to come together to form a really true soul partnership. And their marriage, their relationship, and now their work is testament to that. Orna and Matthew work with clients all over the globe. And they utilize tools of transformation that they have created. And they dedicate their lives, their work, to spreading the message that having love is an inside job. And I love this part too. It's never too late to find the love of your life. So through creating their wonderful business, Creating Love on Purpose, Orna and Matthew have inspired and guided thousands of singles through the journey of self-love. And again, if you know my work, you know how essential I believe this to be also in bringing in their beloved. So their breakthrough coaching program, which is called Bring In Your Beloved, is the only course in the world that allows you to identify and change your own personal love imprint And that's so important, because once you've identified those blocks and know how to remove them, and that's what they help you to do, you can love yourself so that you can then be available to love and be loved more deeply. And just another plug, just in case you need this, Orna and Matthew have been featured on countless television and radio programs, print outlets, NBC, Fox News, MSN, USA Networks, KPFK Radio, with Les Brown on CBS Radio, and a real claim to fame as guest experts on Bravo's The Millionaire Matchmaker. And I know we all have enjoyed watching that from time to time. So welcome again. And we are, all of us listening are on the edges of our seats. I want you to know that I have a zillion questions for you, but I wanted to start our conversation with a very interesting article that I read just the other day. And when I read it, you jumped into my mind. So here's the essence of the article. It came out of New Zealand. And by the way, for everybody listening, I'm in Australia right now. So this is, it's such an incredible world here. And Valentine's Day is really more of an American holiday, right? It's an American acknowledgement of love. But I have to say, it is catching on here. So anyway, I want to tell you about this article that came out of New Zealand. It's a story about this little fellow named Nigel. Well, Nigel is a gannet. It's a little bird. And he lives on this island called Mana Island, right off of New Zealand. And 5 years ago, the government decided that they wanted to work to inhabit the island with birds. And so they posted little cement decoys of gannets all over the island in the hopes to attract other birds to it. Well, for the longest time, Nigel was the only bird that landed there. But when he did, he zeroed in on this one little cement decoy and fell in love. And for the past 5 years, Nigel has spent his entire life dedicated to trying to get this little cement decoy in relationship with him. He first started to court her, then became more and more intimate, and took on a daily grooming routine. He built her a nest. And the sad news is that poor Nigel died recently with his arms wrapped around her. And a love that never quite blossomed. Her concrete feathers had changed over the years. Didn't seem to matter to him. There were a couple of other gannets that landed. He had no interest in them. He was fully dedicated to this cement replica of a bird. I'd love to hear your comments.
Wow, what a story.
I know, what a story. Oh, little Nigel. Well, one of the things that I love about that story is how Nigel continued and continued and continued to attempt to woo and pursue this inanimate bird. And I think it's something that women really need to understand, that really, if you want to be in relationship with a man who will take charge and who will lead the relationship forward. And ladies, I hope you're really listening, because if you never, ever, ever want to ever have to ask that question, where is this going? Listen closely. Because what we have found is that women really just do way too much. And that really, if we're just showing up, now there's stuff you have to do before you actually show up. But when it comes to really, once you're in like the dating process, you know, like the courtship part, the early stages of a relationship, it's really that if you want the kind of man to lead the relationship forward, then you need to give him the space to do that. And that's what I'm really hearing, that, you know, Nigel never gave up. And I just want to say, you know, the first time Matthew ever called me, I mean, I love, Marcy, that you mentioned that we both, you know, we met you at CEO Space, which is a business entrepreneurial group. Well, Matthew and I met through a business networking group. I had my coaching business, he had his hypnotherapy practice, and, you know, the first time he ever called me, he calls me, hi, this is Matthew Walters from WRS, and, you know, I'd like to do some one-on-one networking with you so I could better refer business to you. And I kid you not, I was really busy, and that's what I told him. I said, well, oh, gosh, Matthew, I'm so sorry. I'm in the middle of a bunch of things, and I don't have my schedule right here with me. I'll get back to you. And I'm almost embarrassed to say that I didn't, but I was busy, and I just didn't get back to him. Now, that didn't mean I wasn't ever going to get back to him, but a week later, when I hadn't called him back, he rang again, right? Just like Nigel, who didn't give up. He had picked out that one bird, and whether she was real or not, he decided this is going to be my love. And Matthew clearly had something in his mind besides just meeting me for a networking meeting, and he called me back a week later. And at that point, when he called the second time, I mean, of course, we scheduled that breakfast that we met and talked, you know, that one-on-one networking meeting. Well, we talked about a whole bunch of other things besides business, and, you know, that could take this whole conversation in another direction. But I want to say, We're not saying to play games, because we think it's very important to be authentic, to create the love you want. But what we're saying is that it's really, if you want a man to lead, then give the space for him to lead, because a man who wants to be in relationship with you will pursue you for a relationship.
What a great point. I love that. I mean, what you're really saying then is that these dances that we do, right, and play all these games trying to woo a man into our lives, when all along, all we have to do is really let nature sort of take its course in that way. Because what I think I'm hearing you say is that a man knows what he wants. And when he's connected to his manhood in the way that most women would want them to be, or many women, I should say, would want them to be, then he's going to take the lead.
I think that's absolutely true. You know, in my early 30s, late 20s, early 30s, I was labeled by a lot of the women I dated as commitment phobic, right? Because I was that guy who, you know, who loved companionship, loved mm-hmm. physical intimacy, but didn't want to be nailed down, right?
Yeah.
And to be honest, at that point in my life, I didn't know what I wanted. And I didn't know if I really wanted a relationship or not. And it wasn't until, you know, certain things happened in my life and I really started looking at where my life was going and I wanted to make some changes that I really got clear that one thing I wanted was love.
Aww.
And once I got clear that I wanted love, I spent a lot of time getting more clear on what I was looking for. And then when I found it, I went and got it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think men are that way. Men, if they know what they want and they are clear on it, they're going to go do something about it. Right, and if they don't, they're not going to be, you know, celibate, you know, monks living somewhere. They're going to still enjoy companionship. They're still going to enjoy physical intimacy with a woman, but they're not going to commit to anything because they don't want that. And what happens, you know, when a woman is doing all the work, when she's the one, you know, stepping up and pursuing and making sure they get together again or whatever those behaviors are, right? If the guy enjoys your company, he's going to be more than happy to let you do that work. But he's not going to suddenly change his mind and decide that he wants a relationship, and, oh my God, because of how great you are by all the things you're doing, that you're going to be the one, right? This is the big mistake so many women make today. You know, we've been taught, and I think rightly so, that out in the world, in the workplace, in our careers and everything, that men and women should be treated equally, right? That we should have the same opportunities. We should make the same amount of money. We should, all of that. And what's happened is...
And we agree with that, by the way.
We agree with
that
in the workplace. We have no problem with that idea, right? However, what's happened is in order for women to feel that equality in that marketplace, they've taken on masculine strategies because that's a very masculine environment, right? And I don't mean masculine as in male. I mean masculine as in doing, as in action, as in, you know, the qualities of masculinity as opposed to the qualities of femininity, right? And so women have gotten a certain amount of success and feedback and acknowledgement from those strategies. And so they use them just like anybody would, right? And what's happened is women have decided, I don't think consciously, but they've incorporated those strategies into their dating life. In a sense saying, well, this works, you know, for the rest of my life, it should work over here, right? And, you know, we could go even deeper into, you know, a deeper part of the story. You know, I personally had a different take on the Nigel story because it's a big part of the work we do, and that so many of us are looking for love outside of us and are looking to heal that wound inside of us by, quote-unquote, trying to find someone who will love us, right?
Right.
It's like Nigel was doing, right? Nigel, if we were to look at Nigel as a client of ours, we would probably say that Nigel had parents or some, you know, experience in his early childhood where he did not get the acknowledgement and appreciation, and he had to work really hard to feel loved in his family of origin. And so this is Nigel's subconscious strategy when it comes to love. And so when he sees that unavailable slash unattainable mate, right, because she's not real, she's not actually
she
a bird.
She was concrete.
Right? She's concrete.
You're
right?
Talking he cold.
He gets obsessed with trying to get, if he could get the concrete to love him, that would prove that he is lovable.
That's right.
And that's actually what so many of us do in the dating process, right? We go on a date on that first meet, especially, right? We go on that first date, that first meet, with so much hope. But unfortunately, we put our lovability in the hands of a stranger. And that is not where your lovability belongs. Your lovability, your approvability, your likability all belongs in your own hands.
So that's a really important aspect of this. But I want to kind of connect some of these dots because I think you're bringing up such really important principles here. And given the fact that you work primarily with single women, correct?
Yes.
And they, and particularly for this Valentine's Day, we need to address all women, right? So those women who are single, looking for love, those women who are afraid of love, those women who have been burned by love, those women who are in these hopeless situations like Nigel, right? Nigel is contorting himself, doing everything he can possibly think of, including turning his back on any live birds that managed to make it to the island as well. And completely dedicated himself to trying to get some life out of this cement decoy. And I think, Matthew, you brought up such an excellent point about how if we looked at Nigel as a person, we all show up in love relationships based on our own experiences as well as what we've been taught in our familial patterns, right? So this is so interesting for everybody listening because we're talking about how, first of all, one situation can offer us some really important information, even though we can look at it as hopeless, Nigel could learn a lot about himself if he had the opportunity to reflect on that, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, let's face it, we've, you know, I mean, I relate to it in so many ways.
Sure, me too.
I was always pining for the unavailable man, right? Either unavailable, like in a relationship with somebody else, or unavailable, like, you know, an addict who was emotionally unavailable. They're just as unavailable as somebody's in a relationship, right? And so, you know, I can relate to it on so many ways about this, you know, quote unquote dedication to this concrete thing that's never going to give back. And I think what's important to note is, you know, because we want to tie in this Valentine's Day, right?
Sure.
Because Valentine's Day is a celebration of love, specifically romantic love,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a Mother's Day for loving mothers, a Father's Day for loving fathers, right? A Friendship Day for loving our friends, Boss's Day, Secretary's Day, right? There's all of this. But Valentine's Day is about romantic love. And when, you know, when we think about romantic love, we're sort of on some level, you know, most especially in the Western part of the world where there aren't arranged marriages as part of the norm, we sort of buy into this, to what we call the myth of accidental love. Because from the moment we pop out of the womb, we're all told that everything we want in life, right, we should have a strategy and a game plan on it and get educated and learn a skill set and all of this stuff about how to create everything else in life, right? Nobody ever thinks, oh gosh, you know, I've gained some weight. Well, if it was meant to be that I'll be skinny, I'll just wake up skinny one morning, right?
I mean,
nobody in their right mind, right, would ever say those things. And yet, we are sold this ridiculous myth, and it's in our languaging everywhere that we look about how we're going to whoops, like slip on a banana peel and fall in love with this magical, mythical unicorn of the right person.
And we always put quotes around right person.
Yeah,
right?
The air quotes around right person, yeah. Because the truth of the matter is that, you know, anybody who's been in a relationship for any length of time knows that to have love last is a choice. And so the myth of accidental love is crap because it ties back to all of these movies where, you know, where they live happily ever after. You don't see them, you know, decade after decade after decade, challenges that life throws their way and all of that other stuff. And so really what we want to share with people today, that if you are single this Valentine's Day of 2018, well, the best decision that you can make for yourself is, if you don't want to be single any longer and you truly want to create soul-satisfying and long-lasting love, then today is the day to make the decision for yourself to create a new game plan, to gain a skill set, to learn what the old patterns have been that haven't served you, get some support in shifting that, so that today you make a declaration that it will be the last Valentine's Day that you are not with your beloved.
So,
whoa,
it's interesting to me. I mean, I just love what Orna said. Right, it's so powerful when we make decisions. Right,
yeah.
when we make these declarations, when we make these demands to the universe. Right, it's like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do this differently. But before we do that, right, before we can do it differently, we have to understand where we are.
Mm.
We always say it this way, right? If you walk into the mall and you're looking at the map to the mall and you're trying to find that fancy little luggage store, right? You can find the fancy little luggage store on the map, but what if somebody scraped off the "you are here" spot?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, okay, well, I know where the luggage store is, but I don't know where I am. So I guess I'm just going to wander around this mall until I stumble upon the luggage store. And that's not the way to create anything, right? You first have to go, okay, so where am I right now? What's my "you are here" spot when it comes to love? And there's a few things we want to think about. And I think one of the myths that we all have about love is that intimate relationship intimate, romantic, monogamous relationship, however we want to define it, is in some way instinctual part of being human. And it's not.
Interesting.
It's not. It's a social construct, right? It's something that we as a species have decided is important to us. And Orna and I agree, right? We don't share. We don't do anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. We believe in monogamous relationships. But we also understand that it's not instinctual to us as human beings. What is instinctual to us as human beings is the desire to procreate, right? Mm-hmm. That comes naturally. We don't have to learn how to do that. We figure that out just getting together, right? But when we come together, we talk about how do we live a life together? How do we communicate on a day-to-day basis? How do we, choose somebody that we want to wake up next to every morning for the rest of our lives, right? How do we get into that place? Because that takes a little bit of thinking. So we think about that little baby that comes into the world. And that little baby has no blocks. If you've ever been around a newborn baby, you see it. They exude love, right? They just give love freely. They receive love freely. We say it this way. It's like we are all at our true nature, the physical embodiment of the energy of love. That's who we are. And yet we learn very quickly in our family of origin that that's not true, right? And part of the way we learn it is there's two needs that we have. And these needs are we need to feel safe, and we need to feel loved. We need to feel loved and safe. And so we have these, parents who are flawed human beings who have their bad strategies that they learn from their parents who have bad strategies and on back, right, to the beginning of time. And so they're not capable of loving us in the way that we need or desire to be loved. And so instead of us being able to say, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, what would really make me feel loved right now is if you gave me a big hug and told me you believed in me and that everything's going to be okay and that you're safe, right? If we had that ability at 2-3 years old, right, that'd be pretty amazing, but
sure.
We don't. Instead, what we say is, what is wrong with me that my parent is behaving this way? What's wrong with me? Well, I guess if I don't, really scream and yell and demand attention, I don't get attention. Right? Or, wow, if I don't really be the best girl who does everything right and make sure she gets the best grades and the best whatever, then I don't get the love and appreciation I need. Right? Or whatever those strategies are, whatever those stories are we learn about ourselves. And we call this your love imprint.
Oh.
Right? Your love imprint is how you learn to receive love in your family of origin. It includes your behavioral strategies, your mental emotional patterns, and your limiting beliefs around giving and receiving love. And it's understanding this system and how it works that really gets you out of the lather, rinse, repeat cycle of heartbreak and heartache and struggle in your relationship.
Yeah, because ultimately your love imprint is not operating from your conscious mind. It's in your subconscious. It's like the setting in your subconscious on your GPS for love. It's what love feels like. And so we're all looking for that thing that feels familiar. But you have to understand something about the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind, its purpose is to keep us alive. It's a shortcut, right? The subconscious mind clumps things together
right,
so we don't have to keep learning things from scratch over and over and over and over again, right? It's like at one point, we all had to take 100% focus to learn how to tie a shoelace, right? It took all of our focus and concentration to tie two loops together, right?
Sure, absolutely.
But now when you slip on a shoe, you're not thinking about how to tie the lace. You're thinking of a million other things while you're tying that shoe because you don't have to think about it anymore because you know how to do that. Just like it took you some time to learn to walk, but you don't think about it now. You just get up and you walk down the street. You have a particular walk. You learned to walk that way once. It took some effort, right? We all learn things, and then it gets locked away in this subconscious part of us, so we don't have to learn over and over and over again. So in a sense, we all learned how to do love in our family of origin. But the thing that sucks about that, let's be honest here, that some of us learn some crappy things that aren't in alignment with what we want. So when what we want is not in alignment with what is familiar, whoops, now we have this big disconnect. And what most people do is they go out and they start looking for information about how to do things differently. But the thing is that information doesn't really change anything, because the information just sits and rolls around up there in that big prefrontal cortex that actually isn't running the show, that actually isn't determining who we have that spark of attraction with. Right?
Right. So when you're working with people, how do you bypass that? I know that you have your transformational tools. Is this the basis of your work when you're working with people? Because obviously, like you said, we all come to the table, right, with those imprints. And I know you're so successful in working with people. How do you do this?
That's the great question, right? And it is the key to the work. And the great thing is we figured out how to do this not only one-on-one with a client, but also in group programs.
Amazing.
Right? And it's understanding the nature of subconscious communication.
Mm.
Right? Because our subconscious does not speak English or French or Swahili or Chinese or whatever. It communicates through the body as physical sensation, and it communicates in the mind as symbol, image, story, and metaphor. And it is understanding, you know, where that sensation is showing up in our body and what that symbol and image and metaphor means and how we can transform the symbol to mean something else that is the key to really creating this change.
It's experiential change. So in other words, when we do a process, for example, with a client, it's what we call a pattern interrupt. And we all hold the space that we can do one pattern interrupt and poof, you know, that thing's gone. But that's not usually how it works. Usually we chip away and chip away and chip away at the pattern. It's the way any transformation happens, right? Like a lemon on a tree. It doesn't go from being, you know, hard and solid green to the next moment being soft, ripe, and yellow. It happens over a concentrated period of time. So over a relatively short amount of time, but certainly a concentrated period of time, we chip away and chip away and chip away at the system of a client's love imprint, and the transformation occurs, and we call that the tipping point, right? So pattern interrupts, gathered together over a concentrated period of time, lead us to a tipping point in behavior where the old way of being literally falls away and the new way of being takes over. You know, I think I'm going to out one of my nieces. My nieces are in their 20s. The older one is engaged and getting married in July, and the younger one just went off to college. She's 24. She's going to community college and living at her mom's. And last August, packed up and moved to go off to college, and she's living on her own for the first time. And I think it was like last October-ish, she calls, and I'm available to answer the phone, so I do, because it's my niece, and I love her, and I try to answer when she calls. And she says, you know, how you doing? I'm good. How are you? She says, well, I called to tell you I have a boyfriend. And I said, well, that's fantastic. You know, I'm so glad you have a boyfriend. And she goes, yes, but I'm terrified. And I said, oh, that's why you're calling me. She goes, yes. She goes, yes, I'm terrified. And so, you know, what was interesting about setting up a call with her was because we, you know, her schedule and my schedule and Matthew's schedule, and, you know, we wanted to get on the phone and, like, have a session with her and do some see what was there, right? See what was going on. See what we could do. And what was interesting about it is, you know, we did a pretty long session. I think we spent like three and a half hours on the phone with her or so, and did some, you know, established her love imprint and looked at some other stuff that was sort of creating this sort of terror. That's how she described it.
Wow.
Like, I have a boyfriend. Like, I like him more than any other guy I've ever liked, she says, right? But it's bringing up terror for her. And what was funny to me was about a week after that time on the phone, this one session, I checked in with her and I said, well, how are you feeling? And she says, you know, I feel fine, but I'm not really sure what to do with all that stuff we talked about. And I laughed and I said, oh, sweetheart, you're not a human doing. You're a human being. The learning happened in session. You had a transformative experience, and now there's nothing more for you to do. Mm. And she's like, really? And I was like, yeah. Because, you know, it's when we have a new experience, it's like riding a bike, right? And why do we say that expression? We say, well, it's like riding a bike. It's because it's something you can't unlearn. So in other words, when you learn how to balance that bicycle on your own, you will never unlearn how to do that. When you have a transformative experience, you can't then unhave the experience. Now, I'm making it really simplistic, and I just want people to know it's not like you can sit with us for 3.5 hours and all your problems are solved, because that's a lie. I wouldn't say that. And we didn't solve all of our niece's issues around love and relationships in this one session, but we did remove the terror.
Amazing.
Right? Which is a huge
in one session.
Like,
sure.
Allows her to show up differently in this relationship simply by removing the terror. So, you know, we're complex as human beings. And so what Matthew and I really love about the specificity of the work that we do is it's really working with the client and what they are bringing to the work. Because we don't give our clients something they don't have. What we do is we're guides. We're love guides, right? We're guides to love. Because ultimately we all show up with some kind of mismatch between what is familiar around love and relationships and what we experience in our family of origin and what is in our true heart's desire, what we want. And as long as that disconnect exists, we're going to struggle to create what it is that we desire. And so when you get those two things in alignment, which we can do over a concentrated period of time, that's the key, right? Because when the shift happens on the subconscious, wow, suddenly you're moving through the world as like the real authentic you. You're suddenly seeing available, you know, attractive men instead of not seeing them. I remember once, gosh, I think it was a long time ago already, we had this client in Florida, super smart, highly educated, a doctor, traveled the world speaking in her field, and she hung out with, you know, a group set that was like, you know, 15, 20, 25 years older than her. And so one of her limiting beliefs around love was all the good ones are taken, right? I remember early in her coaching package, she gets on the phone, I think it was like the fourth session or something, and she gets on the phone, she's laughing, right? And we're like, what's so funny? She goes, I couldn't wait to talk to you guys this week. And she lives in a condominium complex in Florida, and she says, well, I met 3 men this last week. All of them I found somewhat attractive, all of them available, not attached, and all 3 men live in my building.
That's close contact. That's fantastic.
Right? And it's like, I mean, she told us, like,
they
the three
just
examples.
Moved in,
yeah,
right?
Nobody just moved in. It's like, I've lived in my building 9 years, right? And she gave us, like, the, you know, one she met, like, in the parking garage, and the other she chatted on the elevator, and the other one, I think, like, at the mailbox. I don't remember. But she gave us, like, the specific meeting of these 3 different men, and she was like, I've never seen them before.
That's
right?
Amazing.
It's what we refer to as a negative hallucination,
mm.
Right? We all know what a hallucination is. It's when you see something that's not there. But we don't understand that we also have negative hallucinations. And what that means is we don't see something that's right in front of us.
And so, Marcy, I know, Matthew and I know that you know this very well because it's all in the work that you do, which is the world appears as we believe it to be.
Absolutely. It's, you know, what I call selective sight. It's like selective hearing.
Yes.
Right? It is, because it's that lens that we are programmed to look through. I wanted to jump in and ask this question, because you brought up what I think is such an important point. And given the fact that you are soulmate coaches, you spoke about the importance of showing up, being authentic. What does that have to do with someone's ability to be in relationship with their soulmate.
Well, if you are, and we call it pretzel twisting, right? If you are pretzel twisting, meaning what shape can I take to
Contorting,
get you to
yeah.
like me, right? What shape can I take to get you to love me? What behavior, how can I be? And, all of us on some level have done some version of this, is right? We see somebody that we're really attracted to, and we go, oh my God, I got to make sure I fit exactly what I think he wants, right? And we take on these behaviors that are not authentic. And we hear it all the time. We have a client we started working with recently, and she literally said to us, once I was married for like 5 years, I suddenly realized that I was acquiescing all the time to what he wanted, and I didn't even know what it was I wanted. As soon as I realized that I had needs and wants that were in conflict with his, and I started asking for them, the relationship fell apart. And the reason the relationship fell apart is because he felt duped, right? He married a woman who he thought wanted things to be the way they were, who he thought wanted him to be in charge and her to go along, and he thought that she liked it that way. Right? And the reason was is because she wasn't showing up authentically from the beginning. If she was clear on who she was and what she wanted and knew how to communicate in such a way that says, hey, I want this, and do it in such a way to inspire a man who really is attracted to you and wants to be with you, to inspire him to actually make an effort to do that, right? Then it's like she's going to be with the guy who wants to fulfill her needs. She's going to be with a guy who wants to make sure that she's happy.
So would you say then that this ability to show up in that authentic self, or inability, I should say, this contorting that you're describing, would you say that that's at the basis of all the struggle that people have with creating the love that they want and deserve?
I don't think it's part of everybody's, but if it exists, it's certainly a foundation for that person, right? So when we think about somebody's love imprint, for example, right? So your love imprint, as Matthew said earlier, is made up of these different components, right? Limiting beliefs, mental, emotional patterns, and behavioral strategies around giving and receiving love. So people who tend to pretzel twist also learned that strategy
Got it.
for getting love in their family of origin. So it's not part of everybody's to pretzel twist, or it might be that different people pretzel twist in a different way. Like we could look at pretzel twisting like ice cream, and the way people do it is the flavor of that ice cream, right? So remember, like we're all complexly wired. We hear these cookie cutter things about love, right? We hear, boys marry their mother, right? And girls end up marrying someone like their father. And Matthew and I just think that we're just way more creative as human beings than that. Like, that's just a little too on the nose and cookie cutter to be accurate, right? Because our entire family, like Matthew and I are both the youngest in our family, right? So our siblings also played a role in that love, in shaping that love imprint, right? So all the people who are around when you're growing up, right? We have a new client from the other day. We did a love imprint session with her, and she was raised by her grandmother. And it was really interesting because her mother actually would just show up now and again. It's like her mother almost played the role of the absent father in her upbringing, and her grandmother, like, and more played the role of a mother, right? And so it's not about the labels of is it mother or father or whatever. It's really the meaning that that little boy, little girl assigned, right, to the events. So Matthew and I, we like to talk about the meaning of things because we can never change the plot points of somebody's past, right? The events that occurred. Those things happened. But what's malleable is the meaning that we assign it. Right? I mean, I grew up in a home filled with physical violence, physical abuse, as well as emotional abuse by both parents, right? And they didn't have a really great skill set for loving. And I mean, I always found it so fascinating they stayed married so long, because to me, they just hated each other.
Wow.
You know? And I think a lot of it was the fear of not, you know, like the, you know, it's like the devil you know is better than the devil you don't kind of
right,
thing.
Sure.
Right, sure. I think they both had so much fear about going into the unknown that they stayed together in this tumultuous, violent-ridden sort of situation. And so, you know, for me, it's like I grew up in a house of chaos. Like, I always just wanted to know the rules. Like, I kind of wished that, you know, there was some kind of clue that I would know what would set them off, but I never knew. And so in my family, it's like love and pain were intertwined. Well, the meaning that I gave the pain that was inflicted upon me was the meaning that I assigned as a little girl, was that I'm unlovable.
Mm.
I mean, I never thought anybody would ever choose to love me. I mean, certainly I knew men would want to have sex with me. That was easy to, you know, I always tried to work that angle. I'll be
sure,
honest.
Sure.
Right? I was like, oh, well, I can get, maybe I'll work my way in through sex, and then maybe he'll love me that way. Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if any ladies out there are thinking that men fall in love with the best blowjob, I will let you know that doesn't work. I tried it. Okay? Right? That's not, I mean, they'll be glad to have sex with you. They're not going to they're not going to choose you for lifelong love that way. And so it makes sense when you think, well, if I believed, if my limiting belief is that I am unlovable, well, of course I kept chasing unavailable men, because if I could get the unavailable man to say I'm lovable and to choose me, then that would, like, solve all of my problems. It was, right? It was still familiar to my subconscious. So I had to unwrap all of that and unwind all of that so that I could be with the guy who I'm sitting next to right now, right?
Mm.
Who not only is, like, the most, you know, is the safest guy I know. I mean, he doesn't even like to kill bugs at our garden, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you know, Matthew would never, not only not even, not ever harm me, but there's a change that had to happen inside of me so that I, Orna, would find a man like Matthew attractive.
Mm, beautiful.
So, I kind of want to pull all of this together, because,
oh my,
you know,
gosh,
we are,
you're reading my mind, Matthew.
Right? We are talking about Valentine's Day and the week of love, and we are talking about, like Orna said earlier, sort of like throwing down the gauntlet for ourselves and saying, you know what, I'm committing to the idea that next year I'm going to be with my beloved, right? Next year I'm going to be with my
fabulous
soulmate. And so we've talked a lot about the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first step is where am I? What's my you are here spot? That's looking at what is that story and understanding that story. And I think part of what we want to say in terms of giving women hope is it may sound daunting to change that, but it's not.
Okay.
It's not daunting to change that, right? It's actually something that you can heal relatively quickly if you're clear on it and you're open to really looking at those wounds and letting them go and forgiving yourself and forgiving your parents and forgiving everybody else along the way, because we're all doing the best we can.
And so that's what you help someone to do when you're guiding them.
Oh,
is
totally.
That's where you begin.
That's where we begin,
okay,
right? Because we always say, what's the point of sitting down and getting clear on what you want if you don't know the starting point of where you are?
Right. So then, how do you tell us more then about your process? What can people expect when they're working with you?
Oh, sure. There are some programs that only work in one phase of the work, but our favorites, and there's a number of different ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But our favorite way to work is in three phases, right? And so the three phases of the work, the way we go through the process, really, of creating love on purpose, is the phase one is what we spend a lot of time talking about today. We talked about this idea of identifying and removing the subconscious blocks, right?
Mm.
Identifying this love imprint and then start chipping away at it, right? Doing these pattern interrupts where we access the subconscious mind, this experiential learning, and then reaching the tipping point where those old beliefs and strategies fall away and this new way of being emerges. So the tipping point marks the end of phase one into phase two. And we touched just a pinch, just a tiny tiny little bit of phase two, because that's where, oh my gosh, you're showing up as your authentic self.
Wow.
And what is it like now that you don't have these old belief system and strategies holding you back? What is it like to walk around in the world as the real authentic you? And through the dating process, how do you cultivate discernment so you're really crystal clear on the kind of relationship you want? Now, you'll notice I didn't say the guy. I didn't say so you get clear on the guy you want. I remember, Marcy, we had this little chat the other day. I was reminding you, a friend said, oh, I once had got this little, like a Chinese menu, but it was like making a man, you know, ordering a man. And I said, oh, that's my friend Marcy Newman, right? So not about the man. I didn't say getting clear on the man, right? I said getting clear on the relationship. That's
right.
What phase two is really about. And also in phase two, you get skill sets for lasting love.
Fabulous.
Because what's the point of drawing somebody in if it's not going to last? There's a skill set involved. There really is one. I mean, Matthew and I pretty much spend 24/7, 365 together, and we've been together now over 10 years. So,
amazing.
You know, I think I can say with confidence that we've got a really solid skill set for maneuvering through the challenges that inevitably are going to come up, right? And there's a skill to choose the same partner over and over and over again. And then phase three is what we call the creation phase. And what's fun with phase three is we get to utilize the same toolboxes that we use in phase one, but instead of removing things from the subconscious, now we get to drop things into the subconscious and into the client's timeline so we can speed things up, right? So once you get clear, we can drop things into your timeline so that we can make that creation and manifestation happen even faster. And the really fun part, I think, in phase three is I like to describe it like this. We walk our client into their blind spot so they can really see and experience fully what their true soul partnership looks like and feels like for them.
Wow.
You know,
amazing.
Just one piece I want to say about that last thing, because I think it's really important to understand. Right. I mean, I know you do a lot of work with visualization and how important it is. Right. And I think most people who don't really understand visualization don't get that if we can't see it in our mind, that it's almost impossible or improbable that we'll ever be able to create it, right? If we can't see it, if you think about it this way, you know, whatever that thing is, right? We hear people say it all the time, well, I just couldn't see myself, you know, bungee jumping, or I couldn't see myself climbing that mountain, or I just can't see myself standing on stage talking in front of 1,000 people, right? And what they're saying is they're speaking a literal truth. What they're saying is I cannot create a picture in my mind in which it is pleasant to see myself doing those activities.
Great. Fabulous.
Right?
Yep.
And but when we can, right, when we can see it, And like Orna said in the creation phase, when we get really specific and we go, this is the dynamic, this is how I want it to feel, this is how I want it to operate, this is the dance I want it to do in the relationship.
Great points, yes.
Right? When we can see that, then it feels probable, if not possible, that we can create it. And then it's just a question of, okay, what actions do I need to take to do that?
Right.
And those actions feel easy to take because we know where we're going.
Oh, so amazing. I'm so excited for everybody who's going to step into this world that you are offering them. Oh my gosh, I can just imagine, seriously, what a whole new world you're going to open up for them. And speaking of which, we have to come to a close, but you have so generously offered a free gift for this Valentine's, for all the Valentines who are listening to this program. And I really want to thank you for that. It's unusual here. And would you tell them about it? And I just want everybody to know that the link for it is going to be posted right with this broadcast. So no worries, just listen to what they are here to share with you.
Oh, you're so sweet, Marcy. And yes, it's our pleasure to give a gift to everybody that's listening. But before I tell you about that, I really want to encourage you to write it out. write out right now, circle the date on the calendar that you're hearing my voice right now, and say, 1 year from this date, I will be with the love of my life. I will be with my beloved. Whatever the language is that works for you about what you label that relationship, and that you will never be alone on Valentine's Day and single again. Mm. Make that declaration now for yourself and make it concrete. Don't type it out on your iPad or your phone. Write it pen to paper. It's a way of communicating with our subconscious mind. Write it out longhand in cursive. If you still remember how to do that, I don't know if I do, actually. No, I'm just kidding. But write it out, pen to paper. And then we want to share with you our free gift. It's a special report that we put together, and we know everybody's busy, so you can collect it in two different ways. You get the audio and you get the PDF. So you can read it if you like to read and mark things up and highlight and take notes, or you can just put it into your phone or wherever and listen to it with earbuds while you're working out of the gym or riding the bus or on your commute to work. So we call this our 7 major mistakes that single women make, blocking them from true love, and of course how to avoid them. The 7 major mistakes. And I bet you're doing most of them through the dating process. Mm. So if you want to, right? Because awareness is the first step. What we want you to do is start recognizing what are your patterns in a relationship, right? But if we call them the 7 major patterns, you'd be like, well, I don't even know what that means.
So right.
We're going to call them the 7 major mistakes, so you have an understanding of what we're talking about. But ultimately, it's going to reveal your particular patterns about how you're showing up that are keeping you from the true love that you really, really, really want. And you can collect that. Matthew, I feel like I've been talking forever. Why don't you share them where they can get it?
You can get it at our website, creatingloveonpurpose.com. It's right there. And you'll also get our weekly newsletter, Love Notes Weekly, where we answer a love, dating, relationship question every week. And we have an inspiring love note in there as well. So
fabulous.
You'll get inspiration once a week in your email to go along with it.
And it is inspiring. I can attest to that. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. This has been such an incredible time together. And I know that our listeners are really so appreciative of it and so appreciative of your free gift. So I look forward to having you back again. This has really been wonderful. And so everyone listening, just to remind you, of course, you know where you are. This is HeartShift Radio, and I'm Marcy Newman, your host, and my wonderful guests, Orna and Matthew Walters. And please, if you have any comments, leave them below. I want to know what your thoughts are, how you feel about this. And of course, you can contact Matthew and Orna. Their link is there as well. And have a wonderful, wonderful Valentine. And know that you are worth every moment that you invest in yourself. So, without further ado, happy Valentine's to all of you. Thank you so much. And thank you, Orna and Matthew, for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Marcy.
Thank you so much. And happy Valentine's Day to everyone. And to you too, Marcy.
Thank you.